Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Hi there, a warm welcome to the Racing Post Football Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington, and joining me this week to look ahead to a cracking weekend of Cup action is a top team of experts, the Racing Post's exultant Tottenham duo of Mark Langdon and Dan Childs, and also from Paddy Power, following straight back in from his excellent postcast debut last week, is Sam Kingston. He's an Arsenal fan, so he probably didn't enjoy last night as much as most people did. So like I said, we've got the FA Cup coming up, loads and loads of live games. We'll look at all the best bets there and elsewhere, right across Britain and Europe. We will start off, though, as ever, with the six questions, two each, and then the lads get to answer the one they wish they'd been asked. We'll start with you, Dan Childs. How on earth did Spurs turn that around last night? It was incredible, wasn't it?
Yeah, it just seemed to be, I mean, the shape of the side was the same, but they seemed to just tweak it a little bit, and when they were defending, it went more to a five, and but they did press more as well, and that led to the goal, and it just seemed to change the whole mood of the stadium, the team, and Dortmund. I think their inexperience showed a little bit as well. It's not just all down to Spurs. Once they fell a goal behind, they had their injury problems as well, and you just felt that they were almost settling for a 1-0 and staying the tie for the second leg, and that allowed Spurs to gain more control. At half-time, being a Spurs fan, I actually thought, do you know what, I'll take a 0-0 here, wait for the second leg, get Kane and Ali back. So that was an amazing turnaround.
It was, wasn't it? I've backed Son at 25-1 for player of the season because I just think you get that February recency bias, don't you? And I think there's sillier bets out there. Mark, what was your main conclusion from Man United versus PSG on Tuesday?
I would say that PSG actually looked a more solid unit without sort of two of their real star names. Now, obviously, it did leave them slightly weaker in attack, but it wasn't a bad attack when you had sort of Di Maria, you know, supplying Mbappe with that brilliant second goal, and you know, Dani Alves sort of just offered, because of the injuries, they were able to be more solid than what we've seen from them. It was their first clean sheet in the Champions League this season. They very rarely, apart from a dodgy opening 10 minutes, I thought they defended as a team really well, and that's something that you just haven't really associated with Paris Saint-Germain, because Neymar doesn't do any tracking back, because Cavani and Mbappe provide you with such a, you know, an attacking team. To have Draxler playing off Mbappe, to have Di Maria working back, to have Dani Alves protecting that defence, to have Marquinhos, who I thought was the best player on the pitch, sort of marking Pogba, their attitude was really good. And I think there've been times over since that influx of money when you could sort of question the attitude and sort of just the team ethic of them.
Wasn't great by Pogba, was it, that display?
No, it wasn't. I think that it wasn't just him, though. I mean, you know, it was the whole collective of that Manchester United team that when the injuries happened at half-time with Martial and Lingard, they suddenly looked like the Jose Mourinho. It was a really slow team they had out there, and you know, Pogba then got frustrated and deserved his red card.
Hmm. Okay, Sam, question for you. What did we learn from the other two games? What did we have? We had Roma-Porto and Ajax-Real Madrid, didn't we? What did you take from those?
I wasn't surprised. I wasn't too surprised to see Real Madrid win that one. They were evens throughout the day. Went off at about 2:30 on the exchange, but I wasn't surprised to see them win that.
Did you see the VAR shambles, Sam?
I did, yeah.
Ridiculous, wasn't it? I mean, quite apart from anything else, 2 minutes 50 stoppage, 2 minutes injury time.
Ugh. Yeah, it's crazy. I didn't agree with that, especially how long it takes. But I thought that goal really should have stood.
Yeah, of course it should. If we're going to start chalking off goals like that, then it's just bollocks. It's absolutely pathetic. And then the Roma-Porto game suddenly sprang into life, didn't it, after a fairly slow start?
Yeah, I think both games were 0-0 there on Tuesday night. And then it was the 70th minute, actually, when Zaniolo scored the first goal. But yeah, sprung into life after the 70th minute. You'd probably fancy Porto now in that tie with the away goal.
Interesting. Now then, Dan, before you answer this question, which is who gets the fourth Champions League spot in the Premier League this year, let's get some latest betting, Sam. How do Paddy Power bet on top four finish?
On the top four, so we have, I'll leave Liverpool and Manchester City
out. Don't worry about them.
We've Tottenham at 1-9, we've Man United at evens, Chelsea 5-4, Arsenal 13-5, and then we've Watford and Wolves both the 500-1.
Okay, Dan.
Chelsea for me. I know they've had that horrific result last week. I just think their running actually looks a little bit better than Manchester United's. At least, I mean, look, everyone expected them kind of to lose that game. They've lost it 6-0, but points wise, you'd expect United to win at Fulham and you'd expect Chelsea to lose at City. So I'm not going to change my opinion too much from before. Their running is a bit easier. They've got the City game out of the way. They've played Arsenal home and away as well. Manchester United have played Spurs. Apart from that, they've got to play all of the rest of the big six again. And we've seen in the game against PSG that against top level sides, you take a couple of their quick players out of the team and they're nowhere near as effective. So Arsenal have obviously got a chance as well. They're right up there on points. I just think they rely a little bit too much on the front, so lack a bit of class in midfield.
Okay, Mark, question for you. How big a boost is it for England that Declan Rice has chosen the three Lions?
Yeah, if he grows into the potential and sort of, you know, carries on the way he's been performing for West Ham, he fills a problematic position, no doubt about that. I mean, you don't want to get too excited about these players because you've seen them before sort of come on at this age and then, you know, in 2-3 years' time, I suppose Jack Wilshere, I know he had his injuries, but would be the obvious one. But yeah, I mean, he looks to be an excellent player, an upgrade on sort of an Eric Dyer, Jordan Henderson, if you like, in that position. I think it's a really awkward, you know, for somebody of dual nationality to have to sort of choose one country over another. I mean, I wouldn't like to make that decision.
No, and there was one particular Republic of Ireland player, well, Kevin Kilbane, who I thought put out a really nasty tweet there having a go. I mean, if Kilbane was good enough to play for England, he might have had the same choice, but he wasn't.
I mean, it's just payback. I mean, they nicked Tony Cascarino.
Well, quite.
No, I mean, I just think that, you know, it becomes down to a personal choice. If you are dual nationality, maybe he did lead Ireland on for too long, but I'm not sure. I think it was a difficult decision.
I think it was a hard decision.
Either way, people can come to respect the decision.
Let's pick the England team between us for the... Don't worry, Sam, we'll come to you in a minute. You can join in if you like, but let's pick the England team for the 2020 European Championship opener.
Okay.
You can go. You have the goalie, Mark.
Oh, Pickford.
Pickford. Wing fullbacks, Dan, you can have.
Fullbacks, Rose on the left. I don't really rate the right back.
Who do you think for right back?
Well, I don't really rate Trippier, if I'm honest. He's got to come into the equation, hasn't he? Wan-Bissaka. I'm trying to think.
Alexander Arnold
would be enough. I'm not too sure about him as well. I think Alexander Arnold and Wan-Bissaka fall into similar categories, promising young players, you know, a little bit still to learn.
Kyle Walker will still be around as well. I mean, I think Kyle Walker's. I mean, he still plays for Man City.
Okay, I'm going to override it. Wan-Bissaka right back. Who's left back, Dan? Come on.
Danny Rose left back.
Mark, centre backs?
It'd be Stones and Gomez.
Stones and Gomez, okay. We'll go three in midfield. So we'll go Rice holding, shall we?
Winks and Dele Alli?
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, Winks is coming on a bundle at the moment. I don't see anything wrong
and
with
and
that.
And then Harry Kane.
Sterling and Rashford either side.
Sterling Rashford, not Sancho?
Sancho on the bench, I think.
I mean, hopefully he does progress, but at the moment, I think he'd be behind. I think he is still behind those two.
And you look at Sterling, he's just going from strength to strength at the moment.
And I like Lingard as well. Yeah. I mean, good options.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, interesting. Right then, Sam, your second question, who's going to win the FA Cup? Before you tell us, give us Paddy Power's latest show.
The latest betting we have, Man City are still obvious favourites at 6-5. Chelsea then at 5-1. Man United 6-1. And Wolves 17-2. Crystal Palace 10-1. Watford 16-1. Brighton 20-1. Derby 45-1. Swansea, Brentford both at 80-1.
Go on then, who are you going to go for, Sam?
I think Wolves is a really good each way bet here. I think I still would favour Manchester City. I mean, they're such obvious favourites, but I do think Wolves is a good outside bet at 17-2, possibly for each way, with Man United and Chelsea both getting each other. If either of them were to then draw Manchester City, that would leave Wolves the best of the rest. So I think they'd be a good each way bet.
Okay, jolly good. Dan, which question do you want to answer?
The FA Cup one, and I just think Man City, anything odds against, they're only going to have to play at the most one of the big six to lift the trophy. So that straight away, I mean, who outside the big six is going to knock them out? I can't see anybody there. So, no, I mean, for an each way bet, I think Watford 16-1 there, almost twice the price of Wolves, and I think they've got a slightly easier tie away to QPR instead of away to Bristol City for Wolves.
He's been picking reserve teams though, hasn't he?
He has. I think that'll, well, we'll come on to that later, but I think that'll get him past QPR still, and then quarterfinals onwards be stronger. A couple of mentions for Brentford and Bristol City.
Yeah,
around
you
the
put Bristol City up at 250, didn't you?
If these, the two big six teams meet in the quarters or the semi-final, there could be a pathway for another team. So I think either of those at hundreds could be an outside bet.
Okay, Mark, which question are you going to answer?
I'd take the Roma, you know, what else did
we sort of get?
Last season's Champions League was really high scoring. It just got a bit crazy, really. And we wondered whether, you know, that was the way football was going. And maybe it is, but I thought it was very interesting that the four knockout ties were all 0-0 at half-time. And the ones that I watched closely were cagey affairs first half. And I wonder if maybe the sort of goals expectation would be a little bit high for these sort of games that we've got coming up. I mean, Man City probably will thrash Schalke, but I think that we could get back to seeing sort of what I would call sort of proper knockout football, where the first game is quite respectful of each other, and then it opens up. So maybe look to play the nil-nils at half time, or you know, the unders.
It's next week, isn't it?
It is next week. Yeah, I mean, okay. Like I say, I'm not saying it for the Man City game, but some of the others that are sort of closer could be low scoring.
That's one to bear in mind, definitely. And Sam, I guess you're going to say that you totally sympathise with Declan Rice's predicament as well, are you?
Of course, I feel cheated as a fan, of course. I can understand his decision, though. Having it up in the air for so long as well, it felt kind of inevitable that he was going to choose England. But it's hard to accept as an Irish fan, because
sure,
it's a massive loss.
Absolutely.
I saw somebody say that he could have been like a defining player for Ireland, whereas maybe he's not, for, you know, because you only, if you're that kind of sort of nation, you only need one really good player, and like Ericsson at Denmark, and he takes you on to a sort of, you know, from being an average team into a really good one, and you know, maybe he's not as important at the moment for England, so I can understand the frustration.
Okay, let's turn our attention to the first of the live FA Cup fixtures. It takes place on Friday night at Loftus Road, 7:45, BT Sport. QPR versus Watford. How do Paddy Power bet, Sam?
We have QPR 7-2. We have the draw at 12-5 and Watford at 4-5.
Now then, Sam, you feeling confident with your tips this weekend? Do you think we're going to be spitting out winner after winner?
Hopefully. It wasn't too bad last week. Unfortunately, the nap didn't come in. But,
oh, yeah. You napped Edinburgh, didn't you? Were they unlucky?
Clyde. They conceded an 88th minute equaliser.
God, unlucky. Right, well, we'll stick with you for the first tip of the week. Who are you going to go for, QPR Watford?
I'm going for Watford here to win to nil. They haven't conceded too many in their last five. They've only conceded two and three in their last seven. I think they will take this one a little bit more seriously as well, now that they're not in threat of relegation and they won't get into the top four or anything. So I think they will go a little bit stronger here. So I'm going Watford to win to nil here.
Okay. Mark, what about you?
Yeah, I thought Watford, fair enough. Shade of odds on. Those goals that Sam was talking about only came against Tottenham. So four clean sheets in five in the others. Slightly wary of the fact that they did rotate heavily, but they still won 2-0 against Newcastle. QPR lost five of their last seven in all competitions and conceded four to Birmingham and Preston. They were in action in midweek as well. Watford have had a clear run at it, and I think they're reasonably strong favourites.
QPR under McLaren is sort of three chunks. Terrible start, sudden revival.
He's done a great job, though. I mean,
yeah,
he really has
he
done
has,
a great
yeah.
job. I mean,
yeah,
like, they should be fighting relegation, I think, on their kind of resources. You know, they've got a player plays in the 10 position, Eze, that I somebody that I've sort of enjoyed watching.
We had a look at him.
I think a few Premier League teams are looking. He's got a touch of class about him, but you know, they were punching above their weight, and now they're just sort of slipping down to, I don't even think it's a natural position. I still think they're doing well, but
anything in January as well with the embargo, as well as they've been sort of stuck with the same squad ever since end of August as well.
Okay, what do you think will happen, Dan?
I think Watford will win. I mean, there's question marks over what team Watford will pick, but he has got the option, Grazia, of going strong, because you've got a Premier League teams, they have got no game in midweek afterwards, whereas QPR have had to play Bristol City midweek, then they've got to play West Brom at home next Tuesday. So it is a disadvantage actually for the Championship team here. But I do think he will make a lot of changes, because he's quite loyal to the guys that have played at Newcastle. Made 11 changes at Newcastle, they won 2-0. But I still think the reserve players are not a lot worse in a lot of cases than the first team players. QPR on a bit of a poor run. That was a big body blow from Bristol City. Conceded a penalty in injury time to lose 2-1. I think they've lost 5 in a row now in the league. So they're on a bad run, although they didn't play badly at Bristol City. But Watford, I just think they've got a little bit too much quality. Watford for me.
Will there be goals?
I think there'll be goals, yeah. 2-0 Watford, that kind of scoreline. I think QPR might struggle to score. You've got big Matt Smith up front, but you've got the likes of Britos Kabasele at the back. I think they'll cope with him okay.
Okay, jolly good. That's that. We will look at Brighton versus Derby next.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18 plus, begambleaware.org.
Okay, 3 FA Cup ties on Saturday. 2 live, 1 at 3 o'clock. We'll start with 12:30 at the Amex. Brighton versus Derby. It's on BT Sport. And Sam, how do Paddy Power bet?
We have Brighton at 8 to 11. We have the draw 5 to 2 and Derby at 7 to 2.
Now, Mark, Chris Hughton's another who's been picking the reserves and sticking with them in the FA Cup, isn't he? What's he do here?
I mean, you mentioned them as an outright sort of selection. They're still going, but since you mentioned that, they've been dragged into trouble. And I mean, I'm thinking that 8 to 11 sounds a bit short to me. I'd maybe go for the Derby or draw double chance. I mean, for betting purposes, so, you know, to win in 90 minutes, you have a look at Brighton. They've only won 2 of their last 14, only got 3 clean sheets in their last 19. This is a team with Dunk and Duffy that, you know, everybody, oh, they're solid, Brighton, you know. But it hasn't really worked out that way for them. We've seen Derby did play on Wednesday, which is a disadvantage, and they are in action again in the midweek. So I'm sure Lampard will have to change things up as well. But a pretty similar level game against Southampton. They eventually came through it. And let's not forget, no more replays. So it'll be decided on the day, 90 minutes, and then extra time, then penalty. So I think that does bring the draw more into play if you are one of these teams that's worried about a sort of, you know, an extra fixture. Worry no more.
Okay, Dan.
Yeah, I think, as Mark's mentioned, the fixtures there are a disadvantage for Derby, having to play before and after. But Lampard did allow for that a little bit with the game at Ipswich, made a couple of changes there. Huddleston, Bryson coming out of midfield, they'll probably come in there. That's their first choice, really, at the moment for midfield players. And I think they'll be strong enough to cause Brighton problems. They drew 2-2, didn't they, at Southampton in the last round. Won at Man United in the Carabao Cup. Gave Chelsea a really good game there as well. I think they'll cause Brighton problems. And I'll go with a draw as well here. Brighton, I mean, they've got the free week going into it, but I don't think Houghton's going to want injuries to key players, so he might make a few changes.
Yeah, I'd say. Will, what do you make of Brighton here, Sam? Do you think they're solid favs, or could you take them on?
No, I think we can take them on. It's more Derby for me. They've just been brilliant in the Cups this year, with the Man United game, the Chelsea one.
Play some beautiful football, don't they?
They do, yeah, they really do. And in the last game against Accrington, they rested Mount, Wilson and Lawrence. So I think if he does that again and brings them off the bench, I think they could hurt Brighton there. So I think Derby will qualify here.
Oh, excellent. So just to qualify, is that the way forward there, do you think?
That's what I've gone for, yeah.
Okay, let's touch on the 3 p.m. game. It's AFC Wimbledon versus Millwall. What's the latest betting here, Sam?
We have Wimbledon 3-1. We have 23-10 the draw and 10-11 Millwall.
And Sam, do you sense an upset here?
I don't. I think Millwall will qualify here, but I think it will be a cagey enough game. It could be won maybe on a set piece or with a 1-0. So my best bet here would be Cooper, the centre-back. He scored 5 goals this season. as a first goal scorer, he's 14-1, and anytime he's 11-2. So I've gone for him just as because I think it could be one on a set piece for Millwall.
Okay, as you know, chaps, I am a devout opponent of kit clashes. I don't know if you grabbed any of the Millwall-Sheffield Wednesday. They may as well have both been wearing identical kits. Oh. It was absolutely pathetic. Anyway, that's not going to help you tip the winner. Mark Langdon is?
Cooper did the business in the last round against Everton, so I'll put him up again. Just another one, though. I'd split stakes on Hutchinson as well, the fellow centre-back that hasn't got a goal this season. But he nearly scored against Everton. No reason really why he should be so far behind Cooper in the scoring stakes. They both go up for every set piece and they both attack the ball well. And I think this could be one on a set piece. Low scoring, tight game.
Excellent. Two votes for Cooper for first scorer. What more incentive do you need? But Mark also thinks Hutchinson's worth a bet. Dan, where are you going to focus for the best value?
I agree it'll be a tight game. I'm just going to take a chance on Wimbledon to pull off another shock here. They performed quite well in the FA Cup. Everyone obviously remembers the 4-2 over West Ham. They also won 3-2 away to Fleetwood, which was an above-average performance for them this season. They also won at Walsall in midweek, just to give them a glimmer of hope in the relegation battle. Millwall, I think they might be a little bit distracted by the battle to stay up. Then they're far from clear of trouble in the Championship. Had a 0-0 against Sheffield Wednesday in the week. They would like to have won that game. Got to play against Derby, haven't they, in the following Wednesday. So they might make a few changes. And their away record, 1-15 away this season, doesn't fill you with confidence. Wimbledon for me.
OK, and the other TV game on Saturday is at 5:30, Newport versus Man City. On BT Sport, Man City mega, mega short, Sam.
Yeah, 1-20 Man City. We've Newport 25-1 and the draw 13-1.
Dan, how do we turn this into a betting event?
I think you're just working out how many City are going to win by. I don't think they'll win by that many, actually. The pitch is going to be a little bit of a leveller. It's not an easy pitch for away teams to go and play attractive football, score goals. Spurs scored one goal on it, didn't they, last season? Leicester scored one goal on it this season. Middlesbrough, no goals this season. Leeds, last season, didn't score against them. So, you know, it's not easy, even if you're Man City, to play free-flowing football, create chances. City at home this season, 81 goals in 21 games. Away, 37 goals in 21 games. Ooh. So they're nowhere near as potent away from home. Following that average, I'd say Man City to win 2-0, a correct score would be where I'd look to go.
Good reasoning. Sam, what's your bet?
Yeah, I agree. I think the pitch will be tough for Man City to play on. I've gone for Jesus to score two or more because I think the goals they score maybe tap-ins or quite close in, and he is a bit of a tap-in merchant. So I've gone for Jesus two or more. It's 11-10 here.
Okay, and Mark?
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking maybe one more 3-0. So, I mean, you could back like Man City and under 4.5 at just a shade of odds on. That might be one way, or Man City under 3.5 a game. But this isn't a match where I'd be looking to sort of risk too much in terms of, you know, because it is a real, just a guess up really in terms of the score. I think 3-0 might be a big runner. If you want a first goal scorer, I'd go Sane. He seems to be on the naughty step at the moment, but so he should come in for this game. He's been dropped for the Premier League, didn't play well against Newcastle, but he has scored in 2019 against Liverpool, Rotherham and Huddersfield. And, you know, that kind of pace and quality may just catch Newport out.
He's going in and out of fashion, like flares, isn't he?
He is. I mean, I think he's somebody that when he has a bad game, it's really, you know, he stands out as being an absolute shocker. Whereas if, say, Bernardo has a bad game on the other wing, he does so much work for the team that Pep sort of sticks by him.
And language don't look great, does it, sometimes when he's having a bad game as well?
I think maybe that's caused him issues with the German national team in the past as well.
OK, let's look at Sunday and Monday next.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply, 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Football Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington and I'm joined by Mark Langdon and Dan Childs from the Racing Post and Sam Kingston from Paddy Power. We've got 3 Sunday FA Cup ties all on the box in one way, shape or form. Start with the 1 o'clock at Ashton Gate, Bristol City versus Wolves. This should be a good one. BT Sport 2 are the broadcasters. This is the betting from Paddy Power.
We've Bristol City at 16-5. We've the draw 5-2 and Wolves at 8-11.
Okay. And Sam, what do you think will happen here?
I've gone for Wolves to qualify. I think there will be goals. There's been 25 goals in Wolves' last 7 games, which is over 4 per game. Bristol have also scored in their last 15 games. So I think there will be goals here. I've gone both teams to score, which I think looks big at 19-20, and Wolves to qualify in the end.
Okay, Mark?
I'm not sure I'll be backing Wolves odds on for this game. I think Wolves are a team that seem to struggle a little bit when the sort of onus is on them to try to win the game. We saw it on Monday night against Newcastle.
It's quite a clear trend that now, isn't it?
It is. I mean, obviously, the West Ham game, that absolutely destroyed West Ham. But there have been others like Huddersfield where, you know, that was in front of the cameras. Shrewsbury, you know, only just got past them and needed two bites at it. I thought the draw in 90 minutes may be the way to go. Bristol City, well, Lee Johnson in particular, throughout his managerial career, has these weird runs where he's absolutely brilliant for months and then they're like horrendously bad. And it happened at Barnsley when he had them in the relegation zone, and then all of a sudden they're pushing for the playoffs. I don't know why. There must be something in his character that sort of is all about getting on a roll. But they are unbeaten in 15. They've won 9 in a row. I'll go for the draw in 90 minutes. I wouldn't be backing Wolves.
Okay, Dan, would you be backing Wolves?
No, I think they're too short at odds on, and I'd take a chance on Bristol City, actually, to spring a surprise here. I don't think there'll be a big fear factor here. Wolves kept a lot of the same players from last season, and the games were tight last year. It was a 2-1 at Ashton Gate that I think Wolves won in injury time goal. It was a 3-3 between them at Molineux. So there's tight games. They're going to look at that Bristol City, memories of that, and think we can compete with this side. They're on a great run, as Mark's mentioned. And Wolves have been, their performances recently have been either really, really good or very, very average. I mean, they had the great wins against West Ham and Everton, and then the two games against Shrewsbury where they've had to come from behind twice. And I thought they were lucky, really, to nick a draw at the Newcastle. I think it'll be a close game, and at the odds, I'll give Bristol City a chance.
Okay, 4 o'clock, BBC One at the Keep Moat. Doncaster versus Crystal Palace. Sam, what's the latest?
Doncaster at 4-1, the draw 3-1, and Crystal Palace are 4-7.
Mark, what do you make of this one?
I think it'd be an entertaining game. I think Palace will win. Maybe Palace and over 2.5 goals could be the way to go. Donny have scored in 19 of their last 20 matches. They're unbeaten at home since October the 23rd, but obviously this is a step up, and what we've seen in the FA Cup so far, they played a Preston team that was decimated by injuries at the time. They, you know, Oldham in the last round. So this is a big step up.
Do they rest anyone?
Will they rest anyone?
Yeah. Sorry, he's the wrong tense.
Oh, sorry. This is a really big game for them. Herbie Kane, the Liverpool loanee, is probably their star man in midfield. Marquise up front, sort of target man, centre forward, brings other people into play, scores goals. So I think they've got a chance of notching, but this is still a big step up, and Palace create a lot of big opportunities. They don't always take them. In fact, they rarely take them, but I'm expecting them to on this occasion.
Got forwards now.
You have got forwards, and even, you know, if Benteke or, you know, Batshuayi and people like that, they should be able to get the job done against what is a good League One team, but still only a League One team.
Dan, what do you think?
Palace strong for me. All season long, I watch Palace, and they're creating loads and loads of chances, not taking them. All of a sudden now, you've got Benteke, who's looking fit now again, and Batshuayi, you know, he's a goal scorer as well. He sometimes a little bit sloppy, some of his work outside the box, but does get goals, and that makes a huge difference, I think, to have that at the top end. Makes these tricky ties, a lot easier.
No Wilf,
but they've still got the two big goal threats. They've got enough in the side. Strong midfield with Milivojevic as well in there to run the game for them. Assuming that they don't make too many changes, Palace for this, got a free week going into it. Doncaster going really well in League One. What will worry me is the class gap. They've only had one win, actually, against fellow top six teams in League One. Now, if you're struggling to get wins against your fellow big teams in League One, how are you going to get on against Palace? Palace for me.
I saw them in one of those games at Cholton when they lost 2-0, and they were absolutely terrible. I couldn't believe how bad they were defensively, but they've done really well since then. Must have caught them on an off day.
OK. And Sam, what's your view here?
I've actually gone for an upset here. I've gone Doncaster to qualify at 27-10. I just thought they were good against Southend. They beat them 3-0. The spirits in the camp might be quite high. They've recently got themselves into the playoffs as well. And with Palace just nervously looking over their shoulder in the league, I think I'm not sure how seriously they might take this game. So I think Doncaster to qualify is my bet.
OK, if you don't want to watch that and you have access to BBC One Wales, also at 4 p.m, you can watch Swansea versus Brentford. And if you want to bet on the game, these are the prices from Paddy Power.
Swansea at 7-5, the draw 23-10, and Brentford at 9-5.
Got a strong thought here, Dan?
Yeah, I think Brentford are a nice price to win this. I would say they're the likelier winners. Swansea are a very up and down team this season. Graham Potter often makes a lot of changes and rotates when there's two games in a week, but they're not really getting any momentum together. No more than two win sequences all season long. Brentford are on a really good run though. They were 10 unbeaten until the unlucky 2-1 loss at Forest at the weekend. Bounced back from that by deservedly beating Aston Villa in midweek, and I think their style of play, they like to play a lot of nice football, will be suited at the Liberty, where it's a nice pitch as well. Swansea rely a bit too much on McBurnie up front. Brentford got so many threats up there with Mopay, Ollie Watkins, Benrahma, Canos, so Brentford for me.
And who for you, Sam?
I've gone for Brentford to qualify as well. I think it's going to be a good game. I've gone for over 3.5 goals is the best bet at 11-5. Three of Brentford's last five have had over 3.5, and two of Swansea's last five. I think both teams are gonna play expansive football and go for this. So I've gone for goals in this one.
Okay, and Mark.
Both teams to score would be the best bet. I think if I was going for either team, it would be Brentford as the sort of slight outsiders. The reverse fixture was 3-2. There were 10 shots on target. Echo what everybody says really about the two teams, their style of play. Brentford, depends what team they put out, because they have rotated quite heavily in the FA Cup, but even if it is sort of Canos or somebody like that, but Benrahma, Mopay, Watkins, it's a really good front three. No idea sort of why they're so low in the Championship. I think when Dean Smith left, that derailed them for too long, really. But, you know, they were a team first half of the season, or sort of first few months of the season, people were talking about as, you know, going up automatically. It's gone wrong for them.
I think they were a big single-figure price at one point.
Yeah, they were amongst the favourites. Yeah, they were among the favourites. So, I mean, they just lost their way for a while the managerial change happened.
You know what, the way they're going, I wouldn't completely rule out a dive towards the top six. I mean, 10 points sounds
a lot.
Wouldn't
be a dive, would it?
A climb and ascent towards the top six. I just think they are playing so well, scoring a lot of goals. They could go on a real winning run that might just take them close.
So very much a team to watch in the next few weeks, lads, yeah? Okay, let's go for the big tie of the fifth round of the FA Cup, 7:30 at the Bridge on Sunday. Two teams smarting from recent setbacks. Chelsea against Man United, live on BBC One. Should be an absolute cracker. And Sam, how do Paddy Power bet?
We have Chelsea evens, we have the draw 5-2, and Man United 5-2.
Mark, what do you think will happen?
I've gone round and round on this game. I think the price is probably where I'd expect them to be. You know, not much between the two teams, so you'd make Chelsea about, you know, evens. I've gone for the draw just because I'm not entirely sure. If Chelsea players want to throw Sarri under the bus, this is a great opportunity to do so. And the Premier League game finished in a draw, but they are good at home, Chelsea. They've only lost once. Man United, they have scored in every away game this season, but then Lingard and Martial came off injured. Are they going to be available? It said Alexis Sanchez injured himself, colliding with a linesman as well before he came on. So this is a really tricky game. I'm not expecting it to be a high-scoring one. I think it'll be quite tight. There's a lot riding on this game, particularly for Solskjaer, because they're almost out of the Champions League now. An FA Cup run could get him the job. I'm not sure what's going to happen. I think the draw, therefore, I'll go to draw 1-1.
We could do a they were thrown under the bus by the players of both clubs, couldn't we? Yeah. Poor old Jose.
Chelsea making defensive errors, too slow in midfield. It's alleged that there's dressing room unrest. That was Jose Mourinho and Manchester United, 2 months ago? So I think we'll see a lot from this game on Thursday night that we're speaking before Chelsea play Malmo. He's left Alonso behind. Apparently there's a big bust up with him. And the players claiming in one Spanish newspaper, Alonso is Spanish, I don't know if you can put the link together, that the tactics are too complicated.
Well, I mean, if that's his excuse for the season he's at, pretty poor, isn't it? He's just not a left-back, is he? So I'm sure they might even find that that's a happy accident, that, because they could end up with...
He played in the Bournemouth game, didn't they, when they lost 4-0. Yeah. So I think they've got issues, haven't they? But then most of their bad performances come away from home.
OK, Chelsea v Man U. Dan, an interesting punting challenge. What are you going to go for?
Fancy. Yeah, at the start of the week, I looked at this and I thought Man United looked too big. And I watched the game against, I don't like to knee-jerk, but I watched the game against PSG, and the way it unfolded, and they were it reminded you of the Jose Mourinho performances the second half. They were completely insipid, and there was reasons behind that, with Lingard and Martial losing all that pace. All their best performances under Solskjaer are staying nice and solid, and then you press at the right times and you've got that pace on the counter-attack. All of a sudden, when it's taken away and Mata and Sanchez come on, and it gets one paced again, and they're nowhere near the same team. And I just think Chelsea are going to look at that, and at home, these poor performances coming away from home, it's a lot more difficult in front of your home fans to put in a bad performance. You're motivated to do well at home. They tend to do well at home. I think they're going to win this game now. I think United, that was a worrying performance second half against PSG.
They played really well, Chelsea, didn't they, against Tottenham in that League Cup semi when they pulled it yeah. around. It's a sort of similar level game.
Yeah. The trouble is, though, as you say, you've got these players who, on both teams now, if they fancy it, they're excellent, and if they don't, yeah. they're shit. So, I mean, you know, they've got such shocking attitudes, these players now. It just sickens me.
It's not one I'll be throwing.
Decide whether or not they're going to go for it.
I wouldn't be going match bet. No.
Difficult, isn't it? Sam, have you got a clear view on this?
It's a very difficult one to call, all right. I think it might be a draw as well. I think Chelsea will target this one, though, rather than target the Europa League tonight. And I think United might go slightly more half-strength. But I just can't. I can't back Chelsea here at evens. I've gone for an outside one for a penalty to be scored. There is going to be VAR in this
game. Oh, yeah.
So I think if either team gets a penalty, I think they will score it. And both do get quite a lot of penalties. So a 5-2, I think that looks big enough.
Oh, 5-2, yeah. I'll definitely do that. I love backing penalties when there's VAR. Excellent. Well done, lads. Let's get your best bet of the weekend.
This will not be beaten.
Now, Mark, I nicked Preston off you at the last minute. We both went for them, and they did the business, didn't they?
They did. I'm sure we haven't got the same one this week.
Well, you're going first.
Oh, OK. Monaco to beat Nantes in Ligue 1. Monaco are fighting relegation. But that was, I think, because Thierry Henry had an absolute shocker. Jardim, who took them to the title in the Champions League semi-finals, he's returned. The performances since he came back have been quite good. 2-2 at Gangon. They beat Toulouse. They nearly beat Montpellier last week. Conceded a last-minute penalty. But
how's Cesc doing?
He's one of the reasons, you know, for backing them. I think he's still finding his way in the team, but it was difficult under Henry because they were such a mess. But you've got Cesc Fabregas, Elson Martinez, Golovin, Falcao, Adrian Silva, Lopez as well, Glick at the back. This team should be pushing for Europe. I don't know what went wrong earlier on under Thierry Henry. Not been a very difficult time for them with what happened with Salah. Also, they played on Wednesday. They won 1-0, but they played with 10 men for 75 minutes, so not sure they'll be ready to go again.
I tell you what, I think that's one of the biggest missed betting opportunities of my entire life. I should have just been opposing Monaco week in, week out. He was never going to be a manager, was he?
No, it's
just,
I mean, he's still kicking across as a pundit that he had to sort of... No. Yeah, I bought it took.
Not at all. Dan, what's your weekend nap?
I'm going to go down to League 2 and I'm going to go for rock bottom Notts County to win at home.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh. To win at home to second top Mansfield at 3-1. They've had a squad overhaul in January, as you probably know as well.
Don't tell me.
Drew 1-1 with Lincoln. We're probably the better side in that game. 1-2-1 at Forest Green. I actually fancied them to get a result there, even though I like Forest Green because they've been improving so much. Mansfield were poor in their loss at Newport last Saturday. They've got issues at the back as well. Ryan Sweeney's banned. Ben Turner's injured. They're going to have to change their system as well. Got to go from a back three to a back four. So against Notts County, who are big improvers recently, Notts County to win.
I can't believe it. Man City for me. How about you? Who do you fancy, Sam?
I've gone for Luton this week. Top of League One. They've won their last five, scoring 14 and conceding 2. Their way to Fleetwood would have been impressive enough this week, but I do think Luton would beat anyone in the league right now, so I've gone for them at even money.
Lovely stuff. What are your weekend plans, Sam? You going to watch a bit of football?
Yeah, same as last weekend, in the office watching football.
With your feet on the desk.
Exactly, yeah.
What do you do for food? You have that nice canteen at Power Towers, haven't you? Or do you have dial-in pizzas and stuff like that?
Yeah, we have a bit of both. The weekends, it's usually dial-in food, all right, but I would usually bring in my own things.
Do you? In a little Tupperware container?
Yeah.
Good lad. Keeps the cost down. Dan, what are you doing?
Off to Cornwall, half term week. Heading down towards New Quay Way on the Saturday.
Beautiful, yeah. Excellent. Should be lovely weather this time of year, shouldn't it?
Yeah, no, it looks all
3 degrees.
Yeah. 13, apparently, I've been looking 13. At it, so yeah, not too
excellent.
Bad.
Excellent.
Yeah,
Mark, yeah. I believe you're giving football a break on Saturday, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, what a great weekend for my sister to choose to get married. I mean, 90% of the people there probably support Tottenham, Arsenal and West Ham, and none of them are in action. They were all kindly
beautifully
been knocked
planned.
Out of the FA Cup.
Have you got a role?
No, my only role is to make sure that my son and daughter perform their roles as bridesmaid and page boy, respectively. That they do that to the best of their abilities and don't ruin any of the ceremony. So, I mean, that'll be.
Does that curtail your drinking, or can you?
No. I mean, I've got to drop them off at the hotel at 1 o'clock. The wedding's not until 3, so straight to the bar.
Lovely stuff. Enjoy that. And what about Sunday? Recover.
Yes, very much a recovery day.
Okay, I decided not to go to Doncaster. I was up in Leeds the other week, and the train pulled in at Doncaster. And I looked around and I thought, do I want to be on this platform at 7 p.m. on a Sunday night when we've just been dicked by Doncaster? And I thought no, so I'm going to watch it on TV. Hopefully, we'll get the job done. Thank you very much indeed, chaps. Another great show. If you enjoy these shows, do please make sure you rate, review and subscribe wherever you are. We'd love you to leave some nice comments at the bottom if you enjoy the shows as well. We've got Racing Postcasts every Monday and Friday. What else we've got? We've got the Anti-Post Cheltenham on Tuesday. And Steve Palmer is back next Wednesday from the Gulf. He's been sunning himself in the Seychelles. If you can't join us for any of those, we'd love to see you back here next Thursday for another Racing Post Weekend Football Postcast.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.